Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come before you to partake of the bread and cup this morning, to remember your love for us and the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross for each and every one of us. We pray the Lord that as we come together this morning to look into your word, may you speak to us your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last message, we saw that there were some Greeks in town and had come to worship at the feast, and they approached Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Can you help us?" And then Philip went and told Andrew, and together Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus that some Greeks were like to see you, and Jesus answered them, "Time's up. Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And listen carefully to what Jesus said. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. And in the same way, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." In these few verses here, Jesus is saying to us that life can never be fulfilled unless we yield ourselves to God and to die to self so that we may live unto Him. And after that, Jesus said this as He shared His heart openly in verses 27 to 28. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of brokenness. All of us will face situations that cause us to wonder how in the world we will make it through the experience. For example, you are the only breadwinner of the family, and then you get retrenched, and you may wonder how you're going to support your family. When you injure yourself, you may ask yourself, how are you going to win the gold medal in the Olympic in the events that you are participating? And let's just pray that Malaysia win a gold this Olympic game. And when you are, your business is not doing so well, and you may ask yourself and fret, and how are you going to cope with all the increase in prices and paying of school fees and so on and so forth? And when the doctor tells you that you got stage 3 cancer and only 3 more months to live, you may be anxiously be wondering what will happen to your family and who is going to take care of them. And your heart is broken. Your heart is totally smashed up. And your heart breaks with despair when confronted with sudden tragedy. How do you deal with it? Well, I've learned that during my years of pastoring that regardless of what business or situation we are in, we're going to have problems. We're going to have brokenness, and we're going to have turmoil, and we will face things and events in our life that will challenge us at our very core. And as a pastor, I've also faced a lot of problems that may be even more challenging than what you face. How do you deal with a case of a man who committed adultery? And how do you deal with a case of a family being harassed by loan shark? And how do you deal with a case of someone addicted to gambling? And how do you deal with a case of a sister wanting to commit suicide? Problem. Brokenness. How we deal with them is what counts. And we don't turn our back on them. We don't run away from them, because they will still come to us. And so we will have to find ways to approach this heartbroken, breaking situation that happened in our lives that come our way. And there was a college student. I hope the Boys Brigade boys don't learn this, okay? And she wrote a letter to her parents. And this is what she wrote. "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm writing this letter to inform you that I met with an accident and just got out of the hospital and have moved in to stay with my new boyfriend, Bill. And he got me a job that where he works, and I'm a waitress at the Red Dog Saloon, and your new grandbaby is due to come in 6 months. Please turn to the next page. Mom and Dad, none of the above really happened. However, I just want you to know I failed my exam and will not be graduating this year. Love, your daughter." Now, that's a very pretty way of trying to get away from it, to deal with the problem of conveying to them the message. Now, I hope you don't have to do that, okay? I hope you don't have to do that. Now, throughout much of Jesus' ministry, we have seen Jesus often say, "My time has not yet come, my time has not yet come, my time has not yet come." But on this occasion, he says, "My time has come." Can you feel the importance of this moment? Jesus is on the verge of death, and he's going to face forced trial. He's going to face severe beating and abuse. He's going to face an execution, and he's going to face a painful, torturous, and bloody execution. And he now cries out to the Father, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Now, if I stop reading verse 27 here, it would seem that Jesus was reluctant to go to the cross. Because he said, "Now my heart is troubled. Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour. Get me out of this. I cannot go on. I don't think I can bear it." We must not stop here. Let's continue to read. And the answer is given to us. He said, "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Look here, Jesus is answering his own question. "What shall I say, Father?" He said, "Save me from this hour." Do you see the question mark? It's a question mark. Now read his answer. "No, this is why I came in the first place. It is for this very reason I came. I will say, Father, glorify your name. Let your name be put on display." Yet Jesus' heart was troubled. We can see that it was likely due to the result of him bearing the weight of the sin of the world as a sinless being. And this went beyond the physical and emotional agony that awaited him. And Jesus knew that he was facing suffering and death. He knew that he was facing a terrible ordeal. And he knew that he had no illusion of how dreadful it would be. And he saw the approaching hurt. He saw the approaching agony, the shame, the humiliation of the cross. And his heart was troubled. Yes. But Jesus did not change his mind. He remained on the cause. And he said, "For this reason, I came to do what God had willed for me." Let us not forget the fearful agony which Jesus went through. The bloody sweat. The 3 times he prayed to the Father for help. The betraying hurt of the traitor's kiss. The subsequent arrest by the temple guards. His appearance in shame and humiliation as a criminal before the high priest and before King Herod, the cruel mockery and scornful contempt when he was dressed as a king and crown of thorn placed upon his head, the whipping upon Pilate's command, the agony of the cross, the nail through his hands and feet, the spear through his thigh, and above all, the terrible torment that drew from him the awful cries of anguish as his spirit endured shame and humiliation, and the separation from the face of the Father that bearing the worst sin required Jesus to pass through. Jesus saw it all coming. And that is what he meant by this, now my heart is troubled. And that is the human side of Jesus. You notice that he thirsted, he wept, he hungered, he was broken. And that is why Jesus knew the pain that some of us endured in our lives through our brokenness. A broken marriage, a broken home, death and separation, sickness and pain, lost job, lost joy, and lost loves. And the mountain that you face seems to be unbearable. What do you do? And what did Jesus do? And after he has said this, for the third time in the ministry of Jesus, the voice of God spoke from heaven. If you look at the text here, looking at the second part of verse 28 to verse 33, then the voice came from heaven. I've glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 29, the crowd that was there and heard it said, it had thunder. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus' heart was troubled. And at this time, he was encouraged to hear the Father's voice confirming that he was on the right course. The voice had first been heard at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Then the divine voice was heard again at the transfiguration. And now, a few weeks before the final week in Jerusalem, as Jesus faced the ordeal of the cross, the voice of the Father again reaffirmed to him his pleasure at the faithfulness of his beloved Son, who was willing to endure what lay before him. Our brothers and sisters, what is important as Jesus entered the last days before the cross? God gave him the word of assurance. He affirmed his pleasure. And God still does that today. He still always gives the word of assurance to those who willingly suffer for his sake. And he still gives the word of assurance to those who are broken before him. And we must remind ourselves that we are not alone in times of our brokenness. He is always there for us. Remember that. That is the answer to our brokenness. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so when the crowd heard the voice, actually they did not know the message that had been conveyed. They heard the voice thunder or thought an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus said in verse 30, very strangely, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. You know, I find that very strange. Don't you find that strange? When they did not know the message, they did not know what was spoken to Jesus, how did it benefit them? What good was it? When I look at this verse, I struggle for a while. How does it really benefit the people when they do not know what was said to Jesus? At least if they have heard God saying to Jesus here, never fear, I'm with you. Or be bold and courageous, I'm with you. Or keep up the spirit, I will strengthen you. It will help the people in some way. Or if we have heard in our time of our brokenness, God is saying to each and every one of us, don't worry, it's okay, I'm with you. Or bear with it a little longer, Malaysia will rise again and there is hope and it is not all hopelessness and we will get out of the dark tunnel soon. It would help us to stay and not emigrate, to remain and not run, isn't it? But the people, according to the text here, heard nothing. And yet it said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. It did not say this message. It said this voice. The message, I've glorified it and I will glorify it again, was for Jesus. The voice was for the people. How? They heard Jesus pray. And they heard a sound from heaven in response to his prayer. And that would have benefited them because the voice would have convinced them that Jesus was in touch with the Father, even though they did not hear the message of what was said to him. So what was the message? It's given to us here. The word came from heaven. I've glorified it and will glorify it again. And what does it mean? It means that from this ordeal of Jesus going to the cross, for this very reason, Jesus declares that further glory will come to his name. And how is it possible? Because oftentimes we may even ask, if I suffer for Jesus Christ, how would it bring glory to his name? If I were to yield my life and totally surrender my all to Jesus, how would it bring glory to his name? If I were to remain in Malaysia instead of emigrating, packing my bag to leave the country, how would it bring glory to his name? Well, let us see what it means to glorify his name. Jesus explained by listing three things which the glory will consist. And first, Jesus declares that it is the judgment of this world, given to us in the first part of verse 31. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Here Jesus is talking openly about the cross. It is an hour of judgment for the world on its phony values and self-indulgent and destructive philosophy that cries out on every side today, which says to us today, live for yourself. Which says to us, only for yourself, and for yourself and none beside. But Jesus said that life must be put to death and given to us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone serve me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. We cannot be a Christian and continue to live on the basis that our life belongs to ourselves. But that is the life of the world, and all that will be judged on the cross. And then second, Jesus declares that it is the judgment on the prince of this world. Given to us in the second part of verse 31, now the prince of this world will be driven out. Who is the prince of the world? No, who is the prince of the world? The prince of the world, I'm sure many of you should know, the prince of the world, people say maybe Joe Biden, the United States president, or maybe our current Prime Minister, Anwar Ibrahim, or maybe the former Prime Minister, even Mahathir, and even before Najib. No, they are not. The prince of this world is Satan, and he is deceptive and cunning. And because we are continually victim of his deception, we do not realize how total his control of the human race is. And we just blindly follow demonic delusion that he sends into the world. And we find ourselves manipulated by his values and have no idea whatsoever how helpless we are to change apart from Christ. Because he is the devil. He is the ruler, the prince of this world. And the scripture declares for us that he is in control of human society. He is the strong man. But I want you to know that the stronger one is Jesus. The great work of the cross is that when we believe in Jesus and follow him, we are free from the power of Satan. And for the very first time, we can do something permanent about this habit that destroyed us, that hurt us and others, that wrecked our plan and sabotaged our highest hopes and dreams. Because on the cross, Jesus would defeat Satan and his world system. And even though Satan is permitted to move around, fro and to and fro from the earth, the Bible tells us that Satan is a defeated enemy. And that one day he will be cast out and eventually be judged and imprisoned forever. And then third, Jesus declares that he will be lifted up and will draw all men to himself. Verse 32, but I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. I'm sure you have heard this text used to mean that if a preacher exalt Jesus Christ, if our pastors preach and exalt Jesus Christ, everybody will be attracted to him. And I wish it were true. You know, I wish it did mean that. Because oftentimes as I preach Christ, I found that some were attracted to him, but not everybody. I found that some were driven away thinking that they have listened to nonsense. And I found that others were indifferent and could not care less. And they tell you after the service, after hearing the pastor preach, all religion are the same. Just do good, be good, and be kind. No, that's not what this text says. John tells us what it means when he adds in verse 33, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And these words of Jesus here are clearly a reference to the cross. By means of the cross, Jesus would draw all men to himself. And that word man, of course, include woman as well. The name for our race is actually mankind, which has nothing to do with gender or sex. And it probably means all kinds of men. Whether you are rich or poor, or whether you are red, yellow, black and white, or whether you are children and adult, and no matter what social standing or background you come from, no matter how deeply one has fallen into sin, all kinds are drawn to the cross and can be delivered and be saved. All men, everyone, everybody, someone, without any exception, without distinction, whether you are Jews or Gentiles, all will be saved. And I believe that Jesus was referring to the judgment at the end of life, that no one can escape him. He stands at the path, end of every path. And though some may neglect him and be indifferent to him now, there will come a day we will all have to face him. And so the question for us is, are we ready for that day? The question for you here is, are you ready for that day? Now, brothers and sisters, the cross was an hour of judgment on the world and for Satan, the prince of this world. The cross was a message to all mankind that Jesus was glorified by being crucified. And that by simple faith, we can pass out from spiritual darkness into his marvelous light of salvation. It is for all men, all kinds of men. And that is what Jesus meant, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. When Jesus was lifted up, crucified, then men, all kinds of men will find the way. Now, brothers and sisters, the cross is a reminder to us that God loves the whole world. And that the task of the church is to take that message to the whole world also, to preach the gospel to the whole world. So are we as individuals doing our part to preach the gospel to the whole world? But sadly, the reaction of the crowd was still one of unbelief. Look at verses 34 to 36. 34 to 36. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son just must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. In spite of all the clear evidence that was presented to them, the nation would still not believe. They have heard the message, they have seen the miracle, and yet they would not believe. They would still not put their trust in the light in Jesus Christ. And then they even spoke up in verse 34, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? And who is this Son of Man?" Now at this point, you notice Jesus is done answering questions of this sort. And he stopped the discussion, and the Bible tells us that he issues a warning and darkness is coming. In verse 35, he says to them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going." And then in verse 36, "Put your trust in the light while you have it so that you may become sons of light." Note there are two cautionary lights here, notes sounded in these closing verses. First, it is dangerous to substitute religious conversation for obedience. Notice the text say, "We have heard from the law." No, it sounds spiritual, it sounds religious. or we have read the Bible, we know that Christ will remain forever. And yet today, we still continue to engage in spiritual debate or even questioning, and we ask questions sometimes, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Did he really turn water into wine? Why all the churches are not united? Why do some Christians still behave this way? Why do some Christians speak in tongues? Or why does God allow the terror attack? Why he allowed the grenade attack on a night spot? And today, some even question, Jesus is the only way? Are you sure? Are you sure he's really the only way? Are you sure the Bible is the only truth? No, Jesus dismissed all these questions because the answers had already been given. He has done so many signs before them, but yet they still would not believe in him. And then secondly, you know, it says here, the second caution, do not let the opportunity pass us by. These Jews missed the present opportunity. Jesus said to them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. As far as we can determine, this was the crowd's last opportunity to hear the word of Jesus. He never spoke to them again. And after he had spoken this word, Jesus left and hid himself from them. This was an hour of special opportunity. The crowd had a last chance to decide. This is a critical hour. This is the moment. Seize it. Don't let it pass. Act on it. And yet, sadly, they let the opportunity pass them by. Like many today, millions today who fail to act on what they heard and saw and went away not believing. Brothers and sisters and friends, we should take the cross, the message of the cross, seriously. Because on the cross, Jesus had demonstrated his love by giving his own son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's given to us very clearly in the scripture. And this is the message that you have received. This is the critical moment, my friend. Seize it and do not let it pass. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ, act on it. Believe now and do not let the opportunity pass you by. No, I'm not frightening you. You may not have the opportunity once you miss this chance. And I still remember this 17-year-old Chinese badminton player who died after he collapsed during a tournament in Indonesia. And there was also a similar tragedy that recently took place at a private college in Kuala Lumpur, where a man, 41 years old, considered to be still in his prime, collapsed and subsequently died while playing volleyball last month. Or just last week, my daughter-in-law, Rachel's cousin, 34 years old, got married, have a young baby. He went to play badminton in the evening. After playing badminton, he went for supper. After supper, he returned home at midnight. He took shower and he slept at 2 a.m. And at 4 a.m., he passed away. Strong, healthy, young, no symptom, just like that. How the family knew is they watched the camera in the house and saw him struggle at 4 a.m., and he just passed away. Now, brothers and sisters and friends, you may think that you have the time. You may think that you are still young. You may think that you want to know more. Well, millions of people are in this position, not ready, not willing to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to lay hold of the opportunity that he set before them. And this was the warning to the Jews to embrace salvation while there was still time. What about you? Brothers and sisters and friends, what about you? And this is a warning to you too, that while you still have the time, Even in your brokenness, you can search for Jesus and embrace salvation he offers to you. Do not wait any longer. Even in your trouble, even in your brokenness, he's here for you. And it was for this reason that Jesus was crucified for the whole world on the cross, so that by simple faith, you can put your trust and faith in him. It was for this reason, very reason, Jesus is saying to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Believe now. Do not let the opportunity pass you by. Will you decide now? Let's just bow our heads. Let's just close our eyes for a moment as I give you an opportunity this morning to make that decision while you have the opportunity. Do not let the opportunity pass you by. For whatever reason, some of you may be broken, some of you may still be searching, some of you may still have a lot of questions and seems to like having an answer, answers to your problem. But this morning, the message has spoken. Do not wait any longer. It was for this reason Jesus is saying to you, I died for you on the cross. And I'm here with you, and I'm with you. And that by simple faith, you can put your trust and faith in me. And I will walk through with you through the storm. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, you can rest assured, you can come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle in heart. You will find rest for your soul in your brokenness, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Believe now. Do not let the opportunity pass you by. If you're an unbeliever, you have never made that decision to believe in Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. While you still have the opportunity, the chance to do so. This morning, while all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, if you would want to make use of this opportunity, not let this opportunity pass you by, you just quietly raise your hand high and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to put my trust in him. I want to take the opportunity given today to believe in him. Just raise your hand high quietly and I pray for you. Is there anyone here in our church this morning who have never made that decision this morning? You want to do so. Not to let the opportunity pass you by. Is there anyone? Yes, I see a hand. A sister. Yes, praise the Lord. I see a hand. A brother. Praise the Lord. Yes. Is there anyone else? Just quietly raise your hand. Is there anyone else? Father, we thank you for the brother and sister who raised their hand. Lord, they do not want to let the opportunity pass them by. This is a moment they want to seize this opportunity to put their trust in Jesus Christ. Father, come to their life and be their God, the Lord, the Savior. And through whatever brokenness, problem maybe in life that they may be going through, even at this moment, your promise, you will be with them, you will never leave nor forsake them, and that they can come to you and you offer them rest. Father, bless the decision they make this morning and continue to speak and minister to everyone here too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.